Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Ken Hodge of Hodge the Hodge Podcast Radio with a special Memorial Day podcast. What I'm doing today is we will be discussing from a mostly veterans point of view, but from anybody point of view, about the American flag and the national anthem. Now, first, let me start off with saying, because I'm sure some of the comments that you may hear today may make you think, well, they're not good Americans. I'm a great American. And let me start off by letting you know my views today comes from 38 years in the military. So when I say something that may not fit your fancy, unless you have more than 38 years, all I do is just ask that you accept it as a man with a little different experience. On the podcast with us this morning, we're probably going to have veterans in and out all day with us. On the podcast this morning, we have Brother Messenger. On the podcast this morning, we have Brother Messenger. Say hello, my friend. Right. We have Sister Terry, Sister Purr.
Good morning.
And all the way from the beautiful Garden City, a.k.a. New Jerusalem, we have Brother Michael. Say hello to the audience, Brother Mike.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay. Again, that's the cast that we'll be starting off with. Again, veterans who hear this podcast, please call in. Or not just veterans, anyone who hears this podcast, please call in and feel free to share your view. Now, again, before we get started, because we're talking about a subject that may get a little touchy, I want to say, I want to say that your view is your view. And the beautiful thing about being in this land that they call North America is we all have a view. If my view is not your view, don't look at me crazy. And if your view isn't my view, I'm not going to look at you crazy. But again, we all have our views. And you might hear, again, you might hear from me as the host of this podcast, some pretty hard statements about North America. But as I say now, or I say in any of the other podcasts that I host, because I live here, because I fight for this nation, I say what I want to say about this nation. But make one thing perfectly clear. And when I say perfectly, I mean perfectly, perfectly. I am not looking to go back to Africa, or excuse me, to go to Africa. I'm not looking to go anywhere other than right here where I am. Okay, so let's get this. We're going to get the panel started. We're going to get the show started with, hey, Brother Mike, I'm going to swing it your way first. And I'm going to ask you, man. You being a veteran, in fact, we serve Desert Storm. We some Desert Storm drill sergeants. What are your feelings on the American flag?
Well, the way I look at it, the American flag was something that was put up during the times when blacks were actually not even considered humans. I say that not to say it in a negative way, but to say that we weren't even thought of. That whole Civil War, that whole American flag, all of that, we haven't even established an identity. I was just talking to my wife about this. Since, I would say, really, what, let's say the 70s? But the 60s, we were still fighting for rights. And if you really think of what rights do we have now, maybe I'm going off topic, but when I see the flag, I look at the flag from a different perspective. Yes, I had to salute it. Yes, I still, you know, feel that, you know, it's something that America stands by. But to look at that flag and look at history of African Americans in this country, it's a little, I can't say, it's a little disheartening when you think of the words that they put with that flag.
And I have to jump right out of the box and tell you that you and I are drinking out of the same cup this morning, my brother, because that's my thing about the flag. You know, a lot of people say when you don't appreciate the flag, or when you don't give proper pomp and circumstance to the flag, that you're not a good American. Well, again, and I say to those people, I can say to those people, because I spent most of my life in the military defending this nation, but it doesn't mean that I defend it because I believe it's mine. Or it doesn't mean that when I defend it, I realize that when the nation came into inception, when they sat down and penned the Declaration, I'm sitting in the room, but I'm not even thought of as a person. Yes, and this all ties into that flag. So, in the short version, I would say that that flag is a flag that probably should be changed. I'll put it like that.
I agree.
Sister Pearl, what are your feelings on that?
About 180 degrees different from yours, brother. But again, I come from a different position than you do. I am grateful for your service. I am in no way, shape, or form military material. I am able to speak and have a different opinion of the flag because of the service of you and your brother. And for that, I'm grateful. I think it's a symbol, but I think there's, you know, I think it's a symbol, and I think it should be revered. I think it represents something greater than myself. But again, that's why there's chocolate and vanilla. I mean, that's why we have different opinions. We're allowed to do that, and part of that is because of your sacrifice, you collectively.
Brother Messenger, where you at?
Yes, I'm here, brother. I just want to say this, and as a sailor, I didn't put the time in that you and the other brother put in, but I did serve, and I served. But for us to sit here and have a debate over a piece of cloth, what determines whether or not we love a country or something, it's just another part of this trickery or buffoonery that they've got us thinking. I could step on the flag, burn the flag. It still does not depreciate my love for this country. We're sitting here pretty much, if you want to be truthful, worshiping a piece of cloth. That's all it is. It's a piece of cloth flying up on a building or something like that. So what that got to do with anything? A flag doesn't determine my love or my respect for anything. So if you're telling me that in order for me to prove my love, I got to honor and salute and all of this, a piece of cloth, I think it's just crazy. And for us to get all bent out of shape over it, It's crazy. Do you know they got a penalty that you get jail time if you burn that flag? I pay for that. So if I pay for it, shouldn't I be able to do what I want with it?
Amen. But you know what I find funny? Go ahead, Brother Mike.
I just wanted to interject something. You know, when they talk about the flag being disrespected, the flag, number one, when you watch like these sporting events, like football in particular, when they take those flags and they hold those flags sideways and then the flag touches the, that's a disrespect. Mm-hmm. That flag should never be held in that position or drag on the ground. Or even folded that way. That's a total disrespect. That was all a TV show. And everyone standing there holding the flag knows that. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
You're right.
So I listen to everybody when they say, especially now, everyone's so patriotic, you know. I challenge a friend of mine who happens to have been a Caucasian, and we talk on a regular. I happen to get into a little discussion. I said, you know, I challenge you, next time you out watching a football game, I challenge you to stand up, right? And when they do that, the flag, and they do all the ceremonies at these folks, I want you to shush people in the bar, stand up and hold your hand on your heart and pledge allegiance like everyone else is doing in the stadium. Yeah, because when that starts happening, then we can talk about patriotism in this country. That's what I'd like to see. You know, so all those people who feel that standing up or not standing up or disrespecting the flag, show me something different. Stand like I said, stand up in a bar and do that. And around you, because ain't nobody else going to be doing it.
I'm willing to bet you all of these people that have this problem, I bet you if you ask them to say the Pledge of Allegiance, they don't even know what it is. They haven't said it since they got out of high school, out of grammar school. So it's a whole bunch of nothing over nothing. Me putting my hand over my heart has nothing to do with how much I love my country. Me respecting this flag has nothing to do with how much I love where I'm at.
But they want to make it something. Yeah, I have to jump on that and agree with you because, again, while I understand the flag and I understand that flag had nothing to do with me as a black North American, if I got called to duty right now in the middle of this podcast, you know, after being pissed off, I'm going to get up, I'm going to report to my unit, and I'm going to move out like a soldier's supposed to move out. So, and I tell people, because I get a lot of flack on my position about it, again, because I'm still a military instructor. But I tell them, have I instructed you in any way that would turn you against this nation? Have I given you any conversation that makes you think I'm not a good soldier? Well, then that's what you're here for. So because I have a different view on this whole flag thing, that doesn't make me not a credible military instructor, for lack of a better phrase.
I have something I'd like to also bring up. Does anyone in the group know who wrote the Star Spangled Banner?
Yeah,
Francis Scott Key.
Right. Now, everybody hears them words, and they. Do you know that there's two versions of that? And there's also, and listen to this. There's also, you have to think, when he wrote that, he actually ran away from the battle, and he was hiding, and he wrote that hiding. He was not captured. He was a coward. And he wrote that, and that's another tradition that this country stands by. That was written by a coward. Please, fact-check me, do the research. This man actually ran from the battle. That's how come he was able to write it so vividly, the bombs bursting in the air. If he was fighting, he wouldn't have been able to see that. So we're basing our tradition on a coward?
all this patriotism. Before we start praising and saying this, you have to look at the origin of where it came from. And if I'm going to stand by something, I want to stand by something that at least has some meaning to me. And
or
I challenge
you. Are you standing by the man or just by the poem?
Say that again.
I understand your position, but I thought we were just looking at the poem, not the man. Can't they be separated?
I don't think so, because you know why? Because everything that was ever written, it was written by someone's belief, by someone's feelings, just like we're talking right now. And those words were put into this country as a tradition. I mean, when you sat there and you wrote that, and you expect everyone else to follow it, that was your belief. And everyone who sat there and agreed with it believed that. What was that?
No,
but
he
didn't expect everyone to follow it.
No, he wrote a song that America, again, understanding who he was. Well, he wrote a poem. Where have we won a poem? About this nation, and it was adopted as a national anthem. So again, understanding who he was gives me insight into his writings. Just like if you read a book, if you know who wrote the book, you get a perspective, a different perspective. So him being a coward,
and then the nation adopted. If someone on the podcast while we're speaking has the ability to look it up, there are two versions. What we're what we're taught to believe is the toned down version. The version that
it's not two versions.
Said,
it's two verses. It's
two
verse
verses.
One and
I'm
verse
sorry.
Two.
I'm sorry.
Two verses.
Well, actually,
that's
right,
Weston,
hold on, brother. There are four verses in that song, and I have it up right now. And here's the verse right now. That makes me question why anybody would get mad at Black Americans for not holding this poem or this song as a national thing that we take pride in. And the verse that really
sets
everything
in place.
And where is the band who so valiantly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more? Their blood was washed out, their fool's footstep pollution. No refuge could be saved. No refuge, could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph do wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. So now again, what you can't glorify my death. I'm not even fighting, and expect me to adopt that as a national anthem. Can't do that. And again, they did it, but now that the conscious level of Americans is a little higher, and we really understand, because growing up, I never knew that there was more than that first part. How many times have you ever sung just that first verse? That's all we ever
sung. That's my point.
That's
my point. Everything that's taught to you is to be patriotism and tradition was designed for you to know certain aspect of it. It was toned down. If we're going to discuss it, you need to discuss all of it. You can't pick excerpts. It's just like picking excerpts from the Bible and making them suit you. You have to look at it as a whole and understand what was it written for. And if you think about it, none of us, no African American was this stuff ever written about. And it was not, we were not even thought of. Proof is right there.
So again, I say, because I don't honor the flag like most people would think, or honor the national anthem, that I don't honor America. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nowhere else I want to be or I'm going to be. Than right here, in North America. But again, because I'm here and because I put my life on the line, at least for another year and a half, I can speak my opinion about this, and it does not make me a bad soldier or a bad American, if there is such a thing.
just makes you wiser.
It's only bad when you follow the standards or that they have set up. And as I said in so many of the different podcasts that we have, we've got to stop living and pleasing other people for the discernment of our own selves. We for so long have put ourselves in a position so that we can make other people happy. And so now once we begin to see all of this stuff, because this song was out a long time ago, and with it out a long time ago, slavery and the mistreatment of black people have been going on for years. So this shouldn't really surprise us. And this is how they felt about us. And now for them to come back and say, just because we don't agree with that, we don't love our country. I don't think, as the brother said when he started this podcast, he's not going anywhere. This is our home, and we love it. But just because we love it, we don't have to love everything about it. And some of these things, a lot of these things that they've got going on that they're telling us we must do or else. And we've got to have enough wisdom on our own to understand, or else what? I am not going to conform to your stupid ideas just for the sake of getting along. I have to be happy within myself. And singing a song that praises my slavery, singing a song that talks about the mistreatment of me and my people just to show that I'm a loyal person, that's just crazy. That's not intelligent for any person of color that has been discriminated against. It doesn't take away from my love for this country, but I don't need to sing that song to prove that I'm an American and I'm a happy American. Truth of the matter, I'm not a happy American. I love America, but I'm not happy. I'm not happy because of the way they've been treating us. And it's proven fact that they've treated us like garbage for years. Now they put a smile on it, and they want us to think that all is well. But it isn't well. And it's not going to be well as long as we continue to conform to what it is that they want us to conform to.
And you know, that's a very interesting point. And again, because of my history, because of my plight in North America, and when I say my, please understand, my is the plight of the black American. Okay, because of that, I have a different view on a lot of social issues. But by no means does that mean I'm not a defender of this nation. Again, it's sad if you actually understand it. But one of the reasons that I'm not going anywhere is because we have been conditioned to understand that no, we know it's bad here, but it's better here than anywhere else. And no American person should have to live with that resolve. We know it's never going to be equal here, at least for another 100, 200 years, but it's better here than anywhere else. Again, this is the only place I've lived. I've visited several countries that, trust me, I was glad that I was in military uniform because I knew I wasn't staying. So North America, again, you are better than the rest, but you are far from fair. And part of me drawing that analogy is to say, because I don't respect your flag and your anthem, don't ever confuse that with I'm not a defender of this nation.
All right, Hodge, Penny, I got to step in for a minute. You've referred to North America several times, and I think I don't know that you have much Canadian citizenship in you.
Not
right?
Sure what you're saying there.
All right, so we're American. For the sake of this argument, we're talking about United States, and you keep referring to North America, and I'm chasing my tail all over the place. Okay? But I want to go back to the flag when you were talking about that you – because I thought we were going to talk about the NFL and the policy. And
no.
I just want to ask a question.
But
I know not exclusively, but I want to ask a question. So when you were saying that you don't agree with it, but when you're in military uniform, you do your job. You go to work, and you salute the flag because it's your job. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So that's kind of where I stand with the current NFL policy. That's what made me think of this. That when you were talking about, you know, that this is what you do, that you have defended this country blessedly, thank you, and you go to work and you don't agree with the position of the flag in this culture, the reverence, the way people look at it, but that's what you're supposed to do when you're at work. And I think that sometimes, you know, the policy, I guess, now says that if you don't stand for it, your team gets fined, or you can stand in the locker room till after it's over. Is that what the NFL policy is at the moment?
That is the policy, but I wanted to be I'll try very hard not to mix the two, because no policy necessary. But and the only reason why I said that was because, you see, this is, but since you brought it up, we're probably going to stay there now, but that's all right though.
Well,
but see,
I'll
this
make
is,
it quick.
No. This is what happens though. You see, that whole policy in the NFL, that was never supposed
right.
to be about the flag. And just stay with me for while I show this out. That whole policy was never supposed to be about the flag. And what happens is now we start talking about, instead of talking about the brutality that the players were protesting, America made that about the flag. The media made that about the flag. So just like, and this is how things turn, and just using this as an example, just like today we were talking about the flag, and you know, we're on the NFL. Two separate subjects that people merge so that the original, the real topic is not addressed. See, because going to the NFL.
I will withdraw.
No. I don't mean to withdraw. I'm just saying this is how things get done sometimes. But going to the NFL, I mean, like I said, we're there now, but that was never about the flag. Never about the flag.
I agree.
And again, the fact that I stand, I don't stand, who determines that's disrespectful?
I
mean, you
I
know what I'm saying?
That's
about.
When it relates. That's what I'm talking about. That's
yeah,
what I'm talking
but,
about.
But your employer
and
does.
Well, again,
you
now,
know what I,
now watch this. That wasn't a part of their contract before.
Well,
you
sure,
can't put them.
Sure, but.
No. No.
But as a union guy, don't you guys have contracts coming here or whatever? I mean, I'm not exactly sure how it works for in a union, but you know, each year, don't you have new contracts or whatever the case may be?
Yes, but only until right now is that part of the NFL's contract. That was never before. Hey, Brother Mike, when they didn't always do that, did they?
They didn't
no,
always
they
do
just,
that. And I'm going to say, I'd like to say something else. The only reason why this is even a conversation is because of Donald Trump being in the White House. When President Obama was in the White House, there was never even a discussion about any
correct.
Of this kneeling or anything to that effect. If it was Obama in the White House, I don't think that this would even have been an issue. I believe that this was brought up because Trump had said that this would hurt businesses. So we're not even talking about the flag. We're talking about businesses. They're making it about
agreed.
The flag, but he's talking about money and people making money, wealth. And he realizes that these guys are business owners. So what else could you do but play on America's weakness and say they're disrespecting the flag? They should go back to be kicked out of the country. Where country should a black man go to? I've been out of this country myself, and I'm saying everywhere that you go, any of these Caribbean islands, we all came from Africa. And so where do we go? We all go back to Africa. Then once we get there, what tribe do I come from? So where do I go? Where would I go? So that's what these players are talking about. These players are talking about the same thing we're talking about. And that's why, and on top of that, they're also talking about what's going on in today's society. And it all goes back to the president making his point heard.
Yeah, let me add this as well. This new policy that they had, you have to understand this too. It wasn't even negotiated into the union. It was a bunch of owners that the owners and the commissioner got together and decided that this is now going to be new policy. And from what I hear, some of the owners don't agree with it. It's just that they were overruled. So it was just something that and here's what you have to understand too. And you know, I'm not knocking them because they were able to do it, but this is a bunch of old Caucasian men who were brought up with nothing but racist attitudes dictating how we're moving forward. And so this is why it needs to be discussed and not on a and as everyone has said, it's not on a disrespectful level. And how much peaceful can you be by kneeling? I don't see anything disrespectful in kneeling, but they made it a big issue. And it has nothing to do with disrespecting the flag. He loves the flag and what it's supposed to stand for, but it's not standing for that. And so since it's not standing for that, I can't with good intention stand up and hold reverence to something that treats me like a second-class citizen. And for the whole nation to get all upset, as I said, if you go to those football games or go to any sporting event, when they're saying it, 95% of the people don't even know the words. But now you want to walk around like it's so disrespectful to you, and you don't even know the words.
Well, because what happens here is we understand that the police brutality that originally got this whole movement started as a nation, we understand that they feel it's okay. They feel it's okay, and the reason I say that is none of the police officers are really going to jail. That ain't really happened. Nobody, they get suspended with pay while we investigate and then get brought right back on the job. So America understands that we're not going to really address that issue because they're not really upset with that issue. So what we're going to do is we're going to pull the abracadabra. They're talking about injustice in America, but we're going to make it seem like they disrespected the flag. Now, can I get all my good old Americans to get behind me as we start this campaign that people are disrespecting the flag? And again,
I'd like to add something to that. I don't know if you noticed, right, that what you're seeing is a majority of black players that are doing this. Am I correct? Right? And
yes.
what people are saying under their breath, you're looking at these multimillionaires out here doing this, right? I got news for you. The NFL is predominantly African Americans, and you know what? Soon it's going to be nothing but African Americans playing, because white people are not going to let their children play football with the head issues that these players are having. That's number one. They're going to stop them from playing. Ain't going to be nothing but a bunch of poor blacks and minorities playing football. So what they're doing right now, they're trying to establish some sort of control, because that's what they're going to be getting. Am I correct? Anyone challenge me on that?
Wow.
Not at all.
This is a setting it up for the control of what they know they're going to have to start having in the league anyway. It's going to be nothing but poor blacks and minorities playing football.
And you are so right about that, Brother Mike, because studies are now showing, again, football is going to be like the new lottery for the minority races. Anybody who can afford to educate themselves and come out without playing professional sports, again, based on the data, you look at most of your prior NFL players, they're not in real good shape right now. And if you think about it, again, and you and I know that personally from the group that we hang with. But if you think about it, how could you expect anything other? Now, don't get me wrong. I love watching me a football game. My son played football from 8 years old, probably, and even now, if a scout called him, he would suit up right now and go and play. And watch his whole workout. He's 35 years old. His whole workout it keeps him in excellent shape. Is about football. So, but when you look at that trauma that you go through on every play of that game, know that is you should understand that it's going to be some lasting effects behind that. But you love the game so much.
And those same owners won't even of all the money and stuff that they've made over the course of the years, they won't even take care of the football players. The football players are the least respected athlete that there is. And why? Because the majority of them are black. The white quarterbacks, I sound racist, but I'm not racist. But the white quarterbacks are well taken care of. They have 99% of every quarterback that is mostly white, they have guaranteed contracts. Football players, they have, quote unquote, a guaranteed contract that can be null and void at any time. At any time, and they walk away with jack. And now they, just because they got a problem with a flag, you're making it a big issue? It's just we got to see past that love for the country to what it really is. And it's about controlling us. We're getting too uppity, and they've got to find a way to get us back in line. And the ones that are trying to get us back in line are these old white people that want to keep the power. And that's the same thing that we have in Congress. These old white men that are in there are establishing all of these different rules to continue to hold people of color down. Let's look past the facade that they're trying to present to us and see it for what it really is.
You know, in all honesty, I wish this country was as patriotic and as fair as everyone says it is,
right,
by honoring
right.
these flags. I wish it was. I wish we lived in
right.
that utopia society. Like I said, I challenge anybody who's so patriotic, the next time they're standing in a bar, stand up. Do that. Stand up in that bar and hold your hand, shush everybody, and salute the flag. Do
say,
it.
Shush them.
When we start doing that, right, I'll say, yes, we have made it. Otherwise, sit down. Don't say nothing. Let them players do what they need to do. Because it's all about control. That is control. I'm telling you.
Now,
pretty
if
soon,
America
ain't going to be nothing. Listen to me. Pretty soon ain't going to be nothing but black and poor minorities playing football. So we need to control this right now. I'm trying to tell you that's what it is. It ain't nothing about the flag. They should. You know, every time you look up, you know that a brother is being stopped by the police. He's being harassed. Because it happened to me on my way to work. You know, when you speak to a white person and you try to explain to them, you know, hey, listen, you know, I live that what they're talking about. That world means nothing. That they know nothing about that. That world means nothing to them. When you're stopped by the police, they say that again.
I said that's true. We
it
don't
means nothing. We know nothing.
You're right.
I mean, just imagine. Imagine going to work, minding your business, taking your same route every day, and then being followed by the police. For what reason? And then the only answer they can give you when they stop you, the only answer they can give you is that, I'm sorry, we stopped you because your license plate had one number over, off. I mean, are you kidding me? All of this, five cops around me for that? Imagine that. Now, when you see a police officer, you have to say to yourself, you know, am I doing everything right? This is what goes on in America. This is a country that I'm supposed to. This is what I'm supposed to stand up for at a football game, or whatever the case may, or anywhere. If I don't want to, this is the land of free, not for everybody.
Now watch
that,
this. If America.
Sad.
Go ahead, brother.
what's so sad, these are multimillionaires, and they don't feel that this country is worth loves them, or this country or society has treated them fairly. And they're millionaires, so I guess money doesn't change that.
Hey, you know what?
Go ahead.
If this society, again, really wanted to, if this society really wanted to show any kind of a real gesture, why don't we get a new flag, or definitely get a new anthem? I mean, now, if you want me to sing that song with reverence, then let's debate on. Let's get a song that doesn't glorify where I came from as a slave. It doesn't tell me that you can't hide from your death, but I'm not even a fighting soldier. So again, if America really wants to do the right thing, let's change it.
It's not even about the song. Just treat me like I am a real American. You treat me with the same way you treat everybody else, and I'll sing the BS song. I don't care if you treating me right. You can't have me sing that song and treat me like I'm still a slave. It's not even about the lyrics of the song, you know?
If I treat
you
right,
treat me right,
brother, if I treat you right, I wouldn't have you to sing that song. That's if I really treat you right. If I treated you right, I would understand that song and that flag in no way depicted your existence in this nation, and I would change it all if I was going to treat you right. But yet we have to understand treating me right is not part of this equation. And I say this to all my soldiers who might hear this podcast and hear this point of view. Again, don't confuse that with me not being a good soldier or a loyal soldier. No, don't confuse that. And I know it might sound crazy, but yeah, how do you fight and defend a land that really don't give two craps about you? Well, the only thing I'm going to say is we've always done it. I'm not saying it's right, but it's one of those things that we just always did. We thought as a Black American, when they allowed us to go into the military, that was a big move. But guess what? We went in separate. We talk about that Civil War. If the South hadn't been losing, we would have never got allowed to fight. Again, we were separate. You talk about the whole reason for the war was because the South had cheap labor that was messing up the economy and the North wasn't trying to stand for it. Again, they had us separate. So when you separate me from all of this, don't you bring me back in and try to mandate me that I'm happy about this. I should praise this. That's just not intelligent. And if America really wanted to do the right thing, again, and be inclusive, then, hey, let's sit down and let's find us a new flag. Well, even if we don't find a new flag, because we can change the meaning of what something symbolizes, let's find a new anthem.
I have something I'd like to add to that. When you listen to This is Brother Mike speaking. When you listen to people say why this is done at the stadiums, the word came up. It was a tradition, and I pondered on that, a tradition. So you're saying that we took an American tradition and brought it to a game. Well, there were a lot of traditions. Am I right? There were a lot of traditions, but we just chose this one. And here's one. Here's a tradition that they used to do also. I brought this up. The tradition was that, like, on Sundays, what they would do, the whole town would dress up, put a Sunday best on, drag Black people from outside up in jail and bring them to the middle of the town and hang them. And everybody would stand around and watch it, women, children alike. Everybody. That was a tradition. There were many traditions that went on. We just chose this one to use. Thank God we didn't choose that one. Otherwise, am I right? See, what I'm saying, everything that we do has been designed to soften what is the truth. It has been designed. Wow. It has been to make us less volatile or whatever the case may be. If every brother had sat back and heard this conversation that we're having, their mind would be open. I'm not saying, you know, this country. Yes, I wouldn't mind living someplace else. I wouldn't mind in another country. I love this country, but I wouldn't mind living somewhere. But I don't know where I'd be accepted. You know, I really don't. And I don't want to be somewhere where I might not be accepted. And that's because of the fact that we even when you speak about an American black I've spoken to people from other countries, they believe that all blacks are mean and are robbed and on welfare because they're taught that. They're taught that in their countries. And that's sad. They don't understand the different types of black, and I hate to say is there are different types. I guess there are different types in all, but they're only taught the bad one, the one that you read about on the news. But there are some decent ones out there also, but no one knows that. So now we're told to go back home. So where am I going to go if I leave here? I want to go someplace decent. Right, Brother Hodge?
I hear you, my brother, I agree with you. I'm not. I mean, I've been through other countries and stuff of that nature as well, and I find no place like home. But that's only because truly that's all I really know. The time that I spent in these countries, I guess, wasn't really long enough to really discern whether it was better or not. But I love where I'm at. I just want people to understand that this is not only their country. They like to call everybody foreigners and all of this, but we're all per se foreigners. None of us were originated from here.
But we are here, and again, as we assimilate into what we call America, United States of America, like I said, I think that the overall plan, again, it's never about equality, and I know we're still talking about the flag and the anthem, but the overall plan is never about equality. So I'm going to force you again, to disrespect yourself every time you actually sing that anthem. I'm going to force you to do that, even though, it was, again, when we wrote it, you wasn't even thought about. But I'm supposed to celebrate it? That's all I'm saying. And again, because I don't appreciate your anthem or have that level of respect for the flag, I defend it. And I'm still I'm still all right with me. Doesn't make me a racist. It doesn't make me a bad American. It just makes me a American with a different point of view on that bit of symbolism that you want me to enjoy. That's all it makes me. So there's no need looking at me crazy like he's a soldier. He's in the military. He said that about the flag. Yes, I said that about the flag, and I'll say it in front of any general or anybody else. And again, in the middle of my speech, if I'm called to duty, I'll have to continue my speech later because I'm going to duty. So don't confuse the two, folks. Let's have a bigger understanding of what it is that I'm trying to present to you.
I don't think that none of us are disrespecting the flag. I really don't. I mean, if you look at the flag and you take the flag to mean something to you, then how can you say what the flag should mean to me? That's all I'm saying, but I don't think that I've ever disrespected the flag. I just looked at the origin. I just looked deeper into why am I saluting this, or why do I even sing this song, and what else am I being not told? Does that make me a bad American because I seek something that suited me? Isn't that the land of the free, to have the ability to seek out? I don't see anything wrong with that.
It's the land of the free, home of the brave, with constitutions and bills of rights, with constitution, and all that was formulated without you even being considered. So if that's your basis, then you got to understand, as the more enlightened, the more intelligent the black American gets, you got to understand that we should be at a compromise position here. We should be able to say, you know what, that's right. Hey, let's look into, maybe we'll adopt a different song. You know what? Maybe we'll write a new song. And that's all I'm saying.
You know,
go ahead, bro.
You know, I don't know if the panel, you know, has ever went to Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, but I suggest that every American, white, black, take a trip to Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia. I'm going to say this because I just want to say this briefly. I had an experience this past summer that really shocked me. I got up in the morning and I was walking into the Colonial portion of it where everyone has on their reenactment clothing. And I was greeted in the morning by a woman, a black woman, who had greeted me by saying, "Good morning." She said, I'm one of the Jefferson slaves. And I looked at her, and, you know, I guess like waking up early in the morning and you're looking at this and I'm saying to myself, you know, this struck me, you know what I'm saying? I must add. So I continued on, and as I'm walking through, you know, I'm looking at all of this 1717, and, you know, and I'm like saying to myself, you know, yeah, but we were slaves, and this is right in front of me. I mean, this is being acted out. And you know, and I looked at it, and I did it for the history portion, actually for my son. But it really, really opened up my eyes and made me look at it. And that's why when we talk about, I know we're getting off topic, but when we talk about this flag and we talk about kneeling, I mean, you got to see all this stuff where that flag originated. And maybe it needs to be set and slapped in the face with it. When it hits you that way, I'm telling you, it should make you look at things a little bit differently. And then maybe you would see this point that these NFL players, why they're doing it. Because that stuff that we went through and everything that we went through to be able to be free, I mean, it was a hard life. You know, I must say. And, you know, let me just say this before I stop. And what was so real to me was that the clothing that she wore were tattered. And you know, and, like, they really, really went the part on that. I mean, her clothing was tattered. And when I saw that, Brother Trent.
Yes.
Brother Trent.
Oh, man.
It tripped me out. It really did.
But you know what, though?
Go ahead.
I mean, you got us on that road, man. But listen, and let me say this, and please, please, please understand what I'm saying. We start talking about equality and all this kind of stuff. I'm not mad. I'm mad, but I'm not mad because I don't understand why those who have all the power would choose to share it. I mean, I understand. It's wrong. Don't get me wrong, but I understand. We can talk equality. We can talk justice, but ain't a whole lot of folks willing to give up their situation of privilege to help equal it out. We'll talk about it, but I'm not going to do any real action to help bring that about because, again, if I'm in charge, I'm really not mad at you for not wanting to give up. It's still wrong. But I'm just saying, on an intellectual level, I understand you want to hold on to that, but you have to let that go.
You gotta let that go. You do.
And again, and one of the ways that you can start to let it go again and start to show that we are the melting pot that we're supposed to be is let's start addressing some of these issues. Like again, you want me to stand for the flag again? Then let me feel that I'm an American like everyone else. And when I say everyone else, I mean black and white. Let me understand that my tax dollars pay for police officers who protect and serve me, not protect and serve them while incarcerating me. Let me feel that. And then if you let me feel that, then you don't have to worry about how I stand or how I, whatever the protocol might be for that symbolism, then I'm pretty much going to follow that. Not because you forced me, because I feel that. But we're so far from that right now. You're so far from that right now. Everything has got a two-tier system in this nation. And the tier that Black America finds itself on is always the lower tier. So don't be mad at me or call me a bad American because I understand my current situation and I choose not to praise your symbolism. Don't be mad at me. That's all I'm really saying. And don't look at me differently. And again, with the NFL players, they understood. Again, they used a platform. If all America, because America watching football, so, and we know when I'm at the game at the stadium, everybody might want to stand up, but I know I have the attention of America. And again, Colin Kaepernick was probably one of the most unlikely people I would have ever thought to get that initiated, but I'm glad he did. And again, now
I'm
the price
he did too.
Was it the right price he paid for that? Again, it's funny because I didn't want to make this a football topic, but he wasn't one of your superstar quarterbacks. Now, don't get me wrong. As quarterbacks go to the NFL, he was probably middle of the road in today's quarterbacks. But he made a conscious decision that he jeopardized the rest of his football career. I'm sure he probably didn't know that this is where it was going to end. But watch this. All that good old money got together, and I don't care what anybody say. I believe, I have nothing to back this up, so I say again, I believe that there was a conversation amongst all those owners, and we agreed, no matter how destitute or how bad we are at the quarterback position, that nigga don't get a contract. You know what I'm saying? He don't get a contract.
Yeah.
Why? Because he took a stand to try to get a point across. Really, you want to? His whole career is in the garbage now. So again, we got to wake up. And again, I think that we are awoke as a people. And this whole conversation started more off from a military perspective. Again, because I fight and because I serve this country. I had an opinion that probably is not what most of my soldiers feel or most Americans, quote unquote, feel. But this is my opinion. And I want you to know that my opinion doesn't stop me from serving, doesn't stop me from protecting, because I do that because I signed an agreement, a contract with the United States military that this is what I'm going to do. Now, I can tell you this. I've got one more year there. Now, after that year, then my actions will probably be a lot different unless America makes some type of changes or get on the road to trying to really bring about true equality, because I'm not under contract now. Now I think and do my own thoughts. But again, I respect my contract with the military, so I have to abide by some of their things. Now, if I'm an NFL player, that was never in my contract. Now it's going to be written in contracts. Now think about that. If, and again, we talk about control. If, because you don't have your own business, if you little minority individual want to play in this game, I'm going to pay you a lot, but here, this is what you have to do. Again, these are some rules that you have to follow. And I'm not knocking rules, but when you start having rules that tell me I got to stand and salute something that disrespects me, now, I think we crossed the line, but I can't back off from the line as an athlete, because where else can I make $6 million a year at? Now money becomes an issue.
I have something I'd like to say. Why won't they just don't even show it on TV, period, anyway? I mean, start the game off just from the game's perspective. Why? Because now if they show it on TV, now you're going to be sitting there saying, who ain't on the field? Because the ones who are not kneeling are going to be allowed to be in the locker room. So why not show it, period?
Hey, listen. Brother Mike, we got a caller. Brother Mike, we got a caller from 864. Go ahead and identify yourself, please.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? This is Equanee Cobb from South Carolina.
Go ahead, brother. We got about 60 seconds left, and you got it. Go ahead.
Okay, well, basically, I guess it is a thing that is amusing. And we don't see athletes, I guess, take the stance that Muhammad Ali did. Even with LeBron James, I do pride him at shedding light on some of these social issues with the power that he has. And I think that is a thing that even this national anthem thing points to, because we've had black veterans that have went overseas to fight for our country, for this country, only to come back and get treated or be mistreated by the police or the local authorities and things of that nature. I saw the police kill Marines. I think there should be certain codes of conduct, but when we look at the dynamics of today, they are the same dynamics as they were back in the 50s and the 60s, where the same unjust system is basically wanting us to be a good go-along, to get-along slave and not
okay,
be
brother,
able
from
to
South Carolina,
look at the things that... Right.
I apologize for cutting you off, my brother, but I love what you were saying. But right now, our time is up. So let me just sign off again. This is Kenny Hodge, Hodge the Hodge Podcast. Special podcast today on the flag and the anthem. I encourage everyone to call in. I'm pretty much sure we'll have another call-in podcast within the next week or two. But everyone have a great day and enjoy your day.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.